Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
1-800-636-1067, the number right here on the Fan. It's a Friday night edition of Overtime with the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. Take up the 9-10 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're bringing Nats on deck as they lead you in to Nationals and Diamondbacks game number one. So that is how we will end the night, talking a little bit of Nats and D-backs. Jake Irvin on the bump for D.C. You can hear all the action right here on the Fan. Voluntary OTAs kicked off this week in Ashburn for the Washington Commanders. We'll actually let you hear some audio from the voluntary OTAs before we get out of here. But right now I wanted to address something that stood out to me like a sore thumb. It is list season, as I like to call it, where certain NFL players get dunked on for no reason. Pro Football Focus put together a list of the top 32 interior defenders, the top 32 interior D linemen heading into the 2025 season. Number one on this list, Chris Jones. Number two, Dexter Lawrence. Number three, Cam Hayward. Four, Quinnen Williams. Five, Jalen Carter. Six, Leonard Williams. Seven, Derek Brown from the Panthers. Eight, DeForest Buckner from Indy. Nine, Jeffrey Simmons from Tennessee. 10, Christian Wilkins from the Raiders. That was the top 10 of the top interior defensive linemen in the NFL. As you go through this list, the one thing that I ultimately noticed is that the 10th highest paid defensive tackle in terms of AAV, is not on that list. Also, in terms of total guaranteed money, the 1, 2, 3 top 10 guy in guaranteed money, not on this list as well. Deron Payne did not crack this list. Deron Payne did not crack this list, and I am kind of stunned. I'm kind of stunned. But he's got to have a big year next year. I think for Deron, last year, statistically, right, it wasn't very impactful for him. And I think this year, he cannot have the numbers still and be a better player. I don't know if he played as bad as we maybe made it seem. I know I've been on the record calling him and John Allen Alabama bank robbers. Just a joke, clearly, guys. But I think he would agree that, you know, his play last year simply just wasn't good enough. He comes in this year and projects to be your starting defensive tackle, playing next to either Jerzon Newton or Javon Kinlaw. What does Deron Payne have to do? What does Deron Payne have to do moving forward to not get cut, because this is the last year of guaranteed money for Deron Payne. And next year, his roster bonus is $5,000. The signing bonus, his base salary will be $16 million, but you can cut him and save $16 million against the cap. So I don't know what the Commanders are going to do. This is probably a big make or break year for Deron Payne. But like I continue to say, I do think he was a little bit better than maybe he was given credit for a year ago. I know the numbers don't jump out at you at all, but I do think he was a little bit better than maybe he was given credit for. 42 tackles, 4 sacks. If we go to NFL Pro and look at some of the advanced analytics when it comes to Deron Payne, I think he'll show more favorably. But all in all, I think if we're looking at this thing objectively, yeah, like Deron Payne didn't play as well as we know he is capable of playing of. And the numbers last year, first and foremost, Deron Payne last year played, wow, is this real? So 68% of the snaps is what he played last year. It was by far the most of any defensive lineman on this team. So take that into consideration, right? Played 68% of the snaps, by far the most by any defensive lineman that played on this team. Run defense snaps, 293, the most out of any defensive lineman on this team, right? His pass rushes, he had 407, meaning he had the most on the team. Meaning he had the most on the team. 4 sacks. The quarterback pressures, he was 3rd on the team in pressures, tied with Frankie Louvu. So let's like not act like he was just god-awful a season ago. Quarterback pressure rate, Deron Payne didn't fare too favorably in that metric. But you pick up what I'm putting down here. I don't think he was as bad as folks made it seem a year ago. But for him not to make Pro Football Focus's top 32 interior defensive lineman list is damning. It's damning. And I don't know how to feel about it. If I'm being honest, like, that's a tough pill to swallow and a pretty damning indictment on how PFF views you. They don't think that you're in the top 32? That's tough, Deron Payne. Hopefully someone shows him this list and he uses it as a chip on his shoulder. I think he is better than what they're giving him credit for. There are names on this list where I go, I would rather Deron Payne than this guy. Right? Like Moro Ajomo. Moro Ajomo got a better grade. That's crazy. Moro Ajomo of the Eagles, a 3rd stringer, is listed more favorably on this list. Jordan Davis? Come on. Grover Stewart? Come on. Zach Seiler in Miami, he's better than Deron Payne? Is our guy being slighted? I think so. 1-800-636-1067. Jimmy is in Silver Spring. Jimmy, your reaction to Deron Payne not being ranked amongst the top 32 interior defensive linemen?
Yeah. I don't know the list, but yeah, I think he's probably too low. But the point of the matter is, when Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen were doing their thing, they had Montez Sweat and Chase Young on the outside who was taking the pressure and sliding the pressure to them. I bet you, and I didn't watch the film, but I bet you once those two guys lost, everybody stood in protection to blocking Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne. This is football, man. You take away the strongest part of your team to get to the weakest part. You know, Dante Fowler got 10 sacks because they were double. Like I said, I didn't watch the film.
Well, first of all, Jimmy, it was the quietest 10.5 sacks I've ever seen.
Well, I don't know about quiet 10.5 sacks. You got 10.5.
I mean, come on. You know? When did they show up, though?
Hey, bro. Like I said, man. Like I said, you're knocking the man for getting 10.5 sacks. Okay?
I hear that.
But what I'm saying to you is about Deron Payne and the way the schemes have changed in the offense because you don't have no horses coming from the outside. Love the show, man.
Hey, appreciate you as always, Jimmy. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls. Deron Payne, not listed amongst the top 32 defensive tackles in the NFL. Big deal or no big deal? Your calls on that next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Chris Russell joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Fan. Linnell Willekamp taking up the 9-10. That's baseball coming your way, following us. So make sure you keep it locked, live and local the rest of the evening. Jake Irvin on the bump for D.C. as they begin a three-game weekend series in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. 9-10, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on Deck. As I mentioned, Chris Russell going to join us in about 10 minutes. Right now, though, we just went over one of many PFF lists that are out there right now, the top 32 interior defensive linemen in the National Football League. And one guy was omitted entirely from the top 32 list. And the guy who was omitted happens to be the 10th highest paid defensive tackle in terms of AAV, our old pal, Deron Payne. Deron Payne not being on this list. First of all, John Allen's on the list. We'll just go ahead and throw that out there. John Allen's on the list, but he doesn't come in until, I believe, number 29. So I just am like, how does the rest of the NFL view Deron Payne? Because I think here in Washington, after he had, what was it, 2021? That 2021 season, where Deron Payne just went, or 2022 rather, where he goes for 11 and a half sacks. I mean, he was just bonkers that year. Is he more of that guy, or is he the guy that's had four sacks throughout the entirety of his career annually?
I think the worst, or the thing that looks worse for Deron Payne, and why I think people in this town specifically are so critical of him, because we all remember it. That one sack he had, the celebration, signing his contract, saying, I'm about to get paid. And that's what happened. And the production tailed off a little bit. And that's why people are frustrated, because they think it's about the money for him or something.
Seems like it is.
I mean, it might be. It might be. I'm not going to blatantly say, because we can't just say it's definitely only about the money for Deron Payne.
It's a coincidence, but he's not. When he needed to get paid, he just pulled an 11 and a half sack season out of his ass. See, he hadn't had more than four sacks in the season in his career, man.
There's been so many arguments over players playing in contract years, if that's a real thing or not. I think it is. It
has to be.
A lot of people wouldn't agree.
I think it is, and I'll put it in our own terms. Me and you here at The Fan, if I was told by our boss that, your ratings for the next calendar year will determine whether or not you get your own show or not, you bet your ass. The work ethic ratchets up a tick more. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I work as hard as anybody in this industry, anybody in this building. But they told me that, your ratings over the next 12 months would determine whether or not you get a full-time show. I guarantee you I'd break on time more. I guarantee you wouldn't be blowing out the clock. You know what I'm saying?
The ratings matter.
Yeah.
They matter a lot.
So anyone that denies that, I just don't think they're being truthful with themselves. The bottom line is this, though, and I guess we can take your calls at 1-800-636-1067 about this. Who do you expect to be the most impactful interior defensive lineman on the Commanders next year? Is it Javon Kinlaw? Is it Deron Payne? Is it Jerzon Newton? Is it Eddie Goldman? Which one of these interior defensive linemen do you expect to have the biggest impact next year? Because I know this. I am expecting Javon Kinlaw to be unleashed here in Washington. I am expecting Javon Kinlaw to be let off the leash, so to speak, here in Washington. I think he could play. I think he could play. I think he's big, fast, physical, to where he shouldn't have much issue getting upfield, penetrating, going after the quarterback, stopping the run. Like, that is what he should be known for. And that is what he should thrive with. I just am not sure that that's what is going to happen for him. So, we'll see. He, in terms of, like, guys that have pressure on him, he's one of them. We put together, what was it, a couple of nights ago, my Super Six-Pack of veterans that have the most pressure on them going into this year. I think...
He was in there. You had him.
He was in there, but I think he's got to have a big year. I think he's got to have a big year.
Another guy you put in there, Linnell, not to cut you off, but Johnny Newton.
Yeah.
I think if Johnny Newton isn't one of the more valuable players on this defensive line next year, they're probably going to have problems.
Yeah.
Because I think he really needs to step up from what he did last year. Two sacks and six tackles for losses. I know that he struggled to get on the field at first with that foot injury. That was bothering him, but there were at times where you kind of watch him and you say, I can see some of the upside potential, but is the size an issue for him? And if he's unable to be the player that maybe Adam Peters in this front office thinks he can be, they're probably going to struggle to stop stuff up the middle, unless Kinlaw can be as dominant as you hope he can be. But we might see him play on the edge.
So I don't buy that.
You don't buy the elephant edge thing?
I think they have too many edge rushes to waste downs with him there. But... with Kinlaw, I want to know, is he used as more of a nose, or is he used as more of a three tech? Is he used as more of a penetrator, or a guy that's used to eat up blocks and keep the backers free? Eddie Goldman's the other guy in this mix that I wouldn't totally rule out. A guy that 6'3", 330, different body type for this defense. Does he end up making the final 53 and carving out a role? They got to find a way to stop the run defense or to fix the run defense, because like I keep alluding to, you're going to find out right away just how improved your run defense is. You're going to find out right away just how improved you are because of the running backs and the running games that you play in the first month, 5 weeks of the season. Tyrone Tracy, Josh Jacobs, Ashton Jeanty, Bijan Robinson, Amarion Hampton. It ain't easy. Not to mention you got Detroit with Montgomery and Gibbs. You've got to take on Seattle with who they've got in the backfield. They're litany of backs. So it ain't going to be easy at all. And I think the joint practices, I think, will give you a real good gauge because guess who you get to joint practice against?
Baltimore.
Travion Henderson and Derrick Henry. So you're going to find out right away if you're better in that category or not. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Chris Russell joins the program next on The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome back. It is overtime here on The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Taking you up to 9:10 right here on The Fan. Nats and Diamondbacks. Game one of that series is coming your way next. It'll be Jake Irvin on the bump for D.C., 9:40 first pitch. Charlie and Dave get you warmed up right here on The Fan at 9:10 with Nats on deck. Right now, though, want to go out to the guest hotline where we find our pal Chris Russell, the host of the Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1 to 4 on the Team 980. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hello, Linnell. How are you?
I'm good, man. A lot going on here with our four major professional sports teams, including the one that plays on the ice, and that is actually where we will start. Everyone is aware of the Caps PR blunder that happened yesterday as they tried to send out an advertisement to their season ticket holders for the 2025 season or getting people to buy season tickets. And in that season ticket advertisement, they promoted that it would be the final season for franchise legend, all-time goal-scoring leader Alex Ovechkin, but they quickly denied those rumors and said that there was no decision yet made on the future of one Alex Ovechkin. Fast forward to about 5 p.m. Eastern time, and I was actually scrolling, and the Russian Machine Never Breaks Twitter page pops up on my timeline, and I immediately got in Darius Dameron's ear and go, yo, you wouldn't believe what I just found. And it was the wife of Alex Ovechkin talking to an outlet in Russia, outlining the plans of Alex Ovechkin moving forward. In that interview, she revealed that Ovechkin would finish his contract with the Washington Capitals and then proceed to finish his playing career in his hometown of Moscow, Russia, with 1 year left on his deal with Washington. Your initial reaction to his wife breaking the news?
Well, not surprising in really any way. She has been sort of a little spokesperson in the past for him. And she doesn't mind the spotlight a little bit, and she doesn't mind chatting, and especially with an outlet in their home country of Russia. So it's not terribly surprising that, A, it came from her, B, it came from certainly a Russian outlet, and C, and most important, and this is what I said yesterday because I didn't have a chance to talk about this today because it didn't happen until after I was done. Nobody in the world should be surprised at all in any way that this was going to be Ovechkin's last year. Not only for his age, not only, I mean, more just because of his contract, right? It always was when he re-signed on this current deal. I don't know. I said it multiple times. I know a lot of other people said it. Okay, we have Alex Ovechkin through the 2025-2026 season, and that's it. Now, the question was is whether he would skip early, and maybe if they won a Stanley Cup this year, maybe he would have done that. I don't know. But I never looked at Ovechkin beyond next year, number one. Maybe if he was super close to the goal-scoring record, if things would have happened a different way, maybe he would have come back for another season, but that would have taken a new contract. Ultimately, he's got the goal-scoring record. He's going to get 900, barring some crazy, insane sort of injury, knock on wood. And that's going to be it, whether they win a Stanley Cup or not. And let's be honest, it's not likely that they win a Stanley Cup. Hopefully they make a stronger push than they did this year, and hopefully they have a reasonably good regular season like they certainly did this year. But they need to do better once it gets to April and May. And, you know, will it happen? Probably not. But, I mean, I hope they can make a better run year two of most of the same core. There was a lot of changes this year. And, you know, we can talk forever and ever and ever about what the goal chase took out of them mentally, emotionally. Linnell, I was around the team a little bit down that stretch. I was at, you know, obviously the game tying game and the game before that, and then the goal breaking record, and there was a lot of emotion, positive, but there was a lot of emotion spent. And you wonder how much it took out of Alex Ovechkin, and you wonder how much it took out of his teammates.
So I'm irritated by all this for probably the wrong reason. Who is she to steal this moment away from him? Who is she to steal this moment away from him?
Well, she's his wife.
I mean, let's
start there.
I get it, but like that's who cares about her? Respectfully, nobody here cares about her. We care about Alex. If Alex is going to have a farewell tour, can he have a press conference to announce it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, geez. What type of news breaking is this?
All right, so I understand certainly that approach that you can look at it that way and say, man, come on, like, let Alex do it. But here's the deal. Again, Alex may not have wanted necessarily it to come out the way it did or the timing or what have you, but maybe he did, and maybe he wanted her to do this. You know, Alex is very different with his teammates versus with the media. I've been around Alex enough in his career throughout The Stanley Cup run, the 2018 run, 2019, 2020, all the way up until COVID. Then, you know, I kind of cycled off as I started doing the Daily Show and got back on sort of towards the end of this year in the goal chase. He is not like Mr. Rah-Rah Shish Kumbha with the media. And I could see, I don't know, I could see Alex saying, you want to tell him? You tell him. You don't want to tell him? You don't tell him. We could tell him. We might not tell him. I was expecting it to come at training camp, quite honestly. I don't know if that was their plan. I don't know if what happened or what we found out about yesterday maybe changed the path, quite honestly, of what she said and how they handled it, being that it got out into the public sphere. And everyone kind of knew this was the last run. It was just a matter of how it would be handled. And, you know, obviously people are going to have a right to handle it or to view it in a different way. I personally am not offended as long as Alex is on board, of course, which I would imagine. My understanding is they have a very good relationship, very close relationship.
It's his she wife.
She's spoken
what
for him
in the
past.
Of course they have a close relationship, yeah. Chris. That's
well,
not the
I
point.
I mean, you could, be married to somebody, you could be married to somebody and not be close to them.
It's Axe Robert. I guess that's a good point. But that's not the point, though, to me. I'm more so, I don't know if I'm upset with Alex. Am I upset with Ted? And monumental for like saying, hey, like, can we? This is an opportunity for. They could have had a press conference. Mm-hmm. They could have made it a whole big deal.
They could have invited teammates. I understand your frustration in general, but let me ask you this. First of all, they weren't going to be able to have a press conference until mid September. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it's just not going to happen. Now, unless you wanted it to happen the day after the season ended, and that's not the greatest timing in the world either.
Why can't they have a presser till September?
Well, because he spends most of the summer in Russia. He comes back, you know, in late August or whatever he comes back, and he starts skating at MedStar Capital's Iceplex right around that time. He's not here all summer. So, okay. Plus, if you think about it, like, why would you want to have a retirement press conference in mid-June, let's just say, when you have
it's called marketing and PR, Chris. Why do you think they accidentally leaked it out? It wasn't no damn accident. They wanted people to go buy season tickets because this is the last chance to watch Alex Ovechkin.
I agree there, and that's a bad plan, whoever came up with that.
Yeah, so maybe this is Alex's way of shoving it to the organization.
Perhaps.
Because this all seems messy.
But I would just say this. If he has the press conference in May or June, doesn't that hurt maybe, potentially, free agency? And, hey, I get to play with Alex Ovechkin in his final year, but he's only going to be here 1 year. Maybe that hurts free agency. I don't know. I don't know him well enough, and I certainly don't know her well enough. I mean, I've been high and by with her over the time that she's been around, but it's not like we talk on a regular basis. So I don't know her. I think I know Alex reasonably well for media. I'm not around him every day, but I've been around him a long enough time in his career that I kind of know how he operates. And to me, my guess is he was uncomfortable with all of the speculation. He was maybe uncomfortable with how things leaked out, if you will, for lack of a better term. And maybe he did give her the blessing. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it went down, but I wouldn't be shocked if Alex was like, I don't really want a big to do at a big press conference.
I get it. Just doesn't seem like the smartest course of action to me, but I don't know. We'll see. Question for you here. The second part of this thing. If you watch the Carolina series, it was very obvious that what needs to change with this bunch. They got to get some speed. Mm-hmm. They got to get some more versatility. Will the post-Alex Ovechkin era be a good thing for the Washington Capitals, Chris?
I don't know how you could say it would be a good thing because of the magnitude of Alex Ovechkin. But to your point, A, it frees up, like, what, $13, $14 million per year under the salary cap, and it does allow you to build your team a different way, right? It does allow you to build your team with more speed, more youth, more versatility, Now, you got a lot of goal scoring to replace, but, I mean, you could look at it, and maybe this is charitable. You don't have that much goal scoring in the postseason to replace.
Oh, you don't.
I'm just saying. He won the Montreal game, game one, right, in overtime. That was the first time he had ever scored in overtime in the Stanley Cup playoff history. He, for all of his greatness, he has not been
a regular season player for the most part.
I mean, he's been a much better regular season player, and it's a much bigger sample size than a postseason player. And of course, we know in the postseason, it is harder to score. It is harder to exert your muscles. But the bottom line is it's going to be really hard to replace that kind of production and what he means on the power play, five on five, what have you. But it does allow you, as Chris Patrick, Brian McClellan, to build your team a different way. There is no doubt about that. And I presume Tom Wilson will be the captain when he retires. And, oh, by the way, it might be the last year not only for Alex Ovechkin, but it's probably the last year for John Carlson, at least with the Capitals. He's going into the final year of his contract, and he's going to be 36. And you want to talk about slowing down a little bit, you can certainly circle that name on the roster.
Real quick, to wrap up the Caps conversation, do you see them losing Anthony Beauvillier?
No. I think that'll get done. I think it'll be probably a two-year deal, somewhere in that range, maybe a three-year deal, perhaps $3.5 million per year, somewhere in that, against the cap. And this is the first year that they've had room, real significant, legitimate room under the cap in a while, with a lot of their defensemen tied up, with their goaltenders tied up, with Chychrun tied up, so on and so forth. And again, you can project the one thing you can't do in hockey that you can do in football is you can't, like, you know, pay a guy $3 million under the cap in year one of a free agent deal and then $13 million in year two. It's all the same across the board. It's evenly divided. So that does hamstring you a little bit in terms of working around the potential voids of Ovechkin and Carlson's money.
Because I don't want to get reamed at, I'm going to take a break and actually bring you back on the other side.
Oh,
we'll get you to discuss Pro Football Focus's top 32 interior defensive lineman list.
Okay.
Certain commander that's top 10 and AAV, not on the list. Chris Russell, Linnell Willingham next. Two more segments left to go with you until we hand things over to the Washington Nationals Radio Network. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for game one of Nats and Diamondbacks coming up at 9:10 with Nats on deck. It is a 9:40 first pitch. Jake Irvin on the bump for DC. Make sure you keep it live and local all night long here as the late night Nats try to make it. That'd be three in a row for the Curly W's. They're playing really well, as we mentioned to start the show. The timing of the Ken Rosenthal piece now makes more sense in a non-cynical way because of the way that they have played here recently. They took 2 out of 3 versus Seattle. They've currently won 8 out of the last 11. And in the month of May, they're 1 game over .500 with a record of 13-12. So we will see if they can keep things rolling. But the last two nights in particular, the bats have been talky hot as the offense continues to click. Josh Bell even getting in on the action last night as well. Real quick, Chris, as we're joined by Chris Russell, the host of the Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1-4 on the Team 980. Real quick, Chris, how impressed were you with Mackenzie Gore last night? Do you think the way he has gotten off this year, do you think it is sustainable throughout the course of the season here? Do you think the consistency issues may rise again?
Well, it's sustainable for him because he's uber talented, as we all know, and he crossed the 100 strikeout barrier, all that. The biggest issue that I just would say with Mackenzie Gore is I would love for him to get through six at 90 pitches.
Right.
Instead of consistently 95, 96, 98, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. Because when you get through six at 97 or 98, I think the number last night was 96, Linnell, if I'm remembering, through six. You don't give Davey many choices when they're trying to keep him to around 100 pitches, because you don't want to necessarily throw a guy out there for six pitches to start an inning and then have to bring in a reliever in a tough situation, right? Because what if those six pitches, it might be a walk and a two-ball count or whatever, or it might be one long at bat, but it also could be three hits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so to me, I would love to see McKenzie be a little more pitch efficient early in the game so that Davey has a better option going into the seventh inning. Six innings, 89 pitches, 87 pitches, 90 pitches, no more than 90, because I think if it's more than 90, and certainly if it's 95-ish, there's no choice. And ultimately, the bullpen failed at first. And then rebounded and got out of a huge jam in the, the eighth inning or ninth inning? I can't remember. It was started by Cole Henry, who got himself in some trouble, and Jose Ferrer, who got out of the trouble. And Henry also got a big out before Davey took him out. And then the bats came alive, and you mentioned Josh Bell. The one thing they got to do, please run. Stop staring.
So this has been something that's been way more noticeable this year because of how aggressive they were on the base paths last year. What has changed with that?
I would say this. Last night, I think when Nathaniel Lowe got thrown out with two out, right? And I know Mark Zuckerman said on Twitter, the third base coach had no choice; he had to send him. I assume that's because he means there's two out, but they were in the midst of three consecutive hits with two outs, right? So I don't know if you had to send him. Nathaniel Lowe is not the fastest guy. I think the ones in the 10th inning with both Luis Garcia, who thought he hit a grand slam, and CJ Abrams, who thought he hit a three-run home run, it is just a simple matter of they are staring, and they are not running hard on contact and out of the box, period. And the video showed that as clear as day. And I will say this. I'll give credit to Kevin Franzen and Bob Carpenter. I don't know what Charlie and Dave said on the radio. I was home watching the game on television. Those guys were all over it, and they do the Nationals broadcast, and they were critical, and they were honest, and I thought they were fair, but they were right on. I didn't see any of the beat reporters in the moment live, because I was watching, criticize any of them, because, you know, it's a different perspective when you're at a game. But those guys, Carpenter and Franzen, were all over it, and good for them. Now, they have the benefit of the television replay, so that helps. But the bottom line is it was not a good base-running display, really, for the last couple of innings for the Nats, and they got away with it.
Switch gears here as we get ready to tell you to get the hell out.
Yeah.
Kidding, Chris Russell.
Yes.
PFF put out the top 32 interior defensive linemen. No Deron Payne on the list. John Allen comes in at 29.
Mm-hmm.
No Deron Payne on the list. Moro Ojomo, Chris, of the Philadelphia Eagles, is at 32.
Yeah.
Deron Payne is the 10th highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL in terms of AAV.
Yeah.
How embarrassing is it that he's not on this list?
Yeah, and I would also say it's disappointing. Now, maybe I'm missing something on Moro Ojomo, but
he's a fourth stringer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm missing that much. Deron Payne should probably be on that list. Now, how much is that on a PFF oversight between the numbers, the grades, the analytics, so on and so forth? And how much of that is, quite honestly, Deron Payne's lack of, never mind sacks, forget about the sacks. That was a one-year thing. He got paid off of that. The pressures, the hits, the run defense. And then on top of that, and I know it's not fair, but on top of that, I don't know. I was at the NFC Championship game. I didn't see Deron Payne on the field. You know, that has to weigh in your mind to some degree. And no, players should not be punished for being injured. I'm not saying that he's soft.
Yeah.
But the reality is, the biggest game this team and this organization played, you know, at that point, on that day, in 30-some-odd years, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's not like he had a good season. He didn't. He didn't stop the run well. We know the run defensive problems. I brought up the other day, I don't know if you agree, right? Like, there's been a lot of talk about Jalen Ramsey, and then, you know, Denton Day brought up you would have to trade Marshawn Lattimore for Jalen Ramsey. What if you consider Deron Payne for Jalen Ramsey?
I'd do it.
I would do it too.
It's gonna be interesting. He was third on the team in pressures last year. Tied with Frankie Louvu with 30 pressures. Obviously, he had way more, almost 200 more pass rushing snaps.
Right.
So that should kind of tell you that that's an issue.
I don't mean he's not done anything.
No, it's just not impactful enough. And I think from talking to folks that are close to the situation, I think internally they were a lot more pleased than we were with how he played last year. So we'll see if he's able to bounce back this year. We're blowing the clock. I got to let you run. We'll catch you Monday, 1-4 on the Team 980. Appreciate you making some time.
Thanks, pal. Man. Have a good weekend.
That is our pal Christopher Russell, the host of the Chris Russell Show weekdays, 1-4 on the Team 980. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this thing. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler getting you warmed up for Nats and Diamondbacks. Game 1 coming up next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.